Okay, so we always hear about these like amazing new drugs, right? You know, the ones hitting a market. And it's this big scientific thing, right? You discover a molecule and it can like, you know, target a disease but did you ever like stop and think about what happens after they discover it? Like, how does it actually get into like a form where our bodies can actually use it?
Yeah, that's the real magic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a huge story. It's full of problem solving and breakthroughs, and that's what we're looking at today. That's drug formulation.
That's right. It's kind of like you have this really brilliant blueprint for a building, right?
Yeah.
But you still need to figure out the best materials and how you're going to actually build the thing to make that vision a reality.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where formulation comes in drug development. It's
Yeah.
like the engineering and construction side of things.
So for this deep dive, we've got some really interesting stuff to go through. We've got like, you know, journal articles from OPR&D and all sorts of perspectives from pharmacology and drug development. Yeah, and we're going to try to use like a case study approach, you know, to explore how all these formulation strategies, you know, they get used to solve all these really difficult challenges to get the drug, you know, to patients who need it
Absolutely.
without like, you know, blinding you with science.
Right, exactly. We want to give you that behind the scenes look at how these decisions are made,
Right.
but we don't want to get too bogged down in the technical jargon.
Yep,
We want to have
yeah.
some fun with this.
So let's set the stage for our case study. Imagine a new drug and it looks really promising. Like it could really be effective at treating something like a serious autoimmune disorder. But then right at the beginning, researchers run into a problem. The molecule, like, it doesn't dissolve in water. So if you just give it as like a regular tablet, hardly any of it's going to get absorbed into the bloodstream. So where do you go from there?
Well, this is where formulation really comes in.
Yeah.
As we said earlier, poor solubility is a really common problem.
Hmm.
If the drug can't dissolve, it can't get to where it needs to be to actually work.
Of course.
So in this example, our scientists would have to get creative and find some workarounds.
Yeah.
One thing they might try is something called nanoparticle formulations.
Nanoparticles. So are we talking about like, you know, shrinking the drug particle down to like teeny tiny size?
That's exactly it.
Okay, so what's the benefit of that?
Well, it's not just about making it smaller by taking the particle size down to the, nanometer scale. You actually massively increase the overall surface area of the drug. Imagine you have a bag of big marbles.
Okay.
Now imagine the same volume, but filled with fine sand.
Okay,
The
yeah.
sand has way more surface area,
Yeah, definitely.
and this extra surface area lets it interact with fluids a lot better,
Okay.
which means it dissolves more effectively, and that leads to better bioavailability.
So it's like it can get into the body and be used more easily.
Exactly. And get this, sometimes these nanoparticles can be designed to actually target specific pathways in the body.
Wow.
So you can deliver them right where they're needed most.
So it's not just about dissolving better, it's like being more precise about where it goes.
Precisely.
That's really interesting. What other strategies are there for dealing with a drug that just won't dissolve?
So another neat trick is something called self-nanoemulsifying drug delivery systems.
That's a mouthful.
It is, yeah, the acronym is SNEDDS.
SEDS.
Much easier.
Yeah.
Think of it like a tiny pre-mixed salad dressing for the drug.
Okay.
These are basically special blends of oils and surfactants, things that help oil and water mix,
Okay.
and co-solvents, which can actually dissolve the drug.
Right.
When these SNEDDS hit the fluids in your digestive system,
Yeah.
they immediately form these super fine emulsions like oil and water,
Right.
And this can seriously boost drug dissolution and absorption. It can even help the drug get across cell membranes.
Oh, wow. So the formulation is almost like a vehicle that gets the drug where it needs to go.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and then you've got modified release formulations.
Okay.
So instead of just trying to make the drug dissolve faster, the goal here is to control when and how the drug is released over time.
Oh, okay.
This could be super important for our autoimmune drug example because you want to keep a steady level of medication in the system.
Right, to manage the symptoms.
Exactly.
So, how do you actually achieve this controlled release?
Well, there are a bunch of clever ways to do it. One is to embed the drug in a matrix system, which is usually made up of polymers.
Okay.
These matrices are designed to slowly break down in the gut, releasing the drug gradually over time.
Okay.
Some of them actually swell up when they absorb fluids and create this gel-like barrier that the drug has to slowly diffuse through.
Wow.
You can also use coatings on tablets or capsules.
Right.
These coatings can be designed to only dissolve at a specific pH level, in the digestive tract. So the drug is released exactly where you want it.
Oh, that's cool.
Or they could just dissolve really slowly over time. And then there are even more sophisticated things like osmotic pumps.
What are those?
They use osmotic pressure to deliver a very precise amount of drug through a tiny hole in the tablet's coating.
So it's like engineering, but on a microscopic level.
It really is. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. In the stuff we were reading, we also saw that controlling the particle size of the, you know, active ingredient, the API, and even the inactive ingredients, the excipients, is really important.
Absolutely.
So for people who might not know, what are excipients exactly?
Excipients are all the other stuff in the drug formulation that isn't the active ingredient.
Okay.
They do things like help with stability and delivery, and they can even affect, like, the shape and function of the dosage form.
Okay, so they're kind of like the support crew.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So let's say our hypothetical drug, we've got it dissolving properly now, thanks to some smart formulation. But then it turns out that the drug itself, like actual drug substance, isn't very stable. Like maybe it breaks down over time or when it's exposed to heat or light or whatever.
Yeah, that's another common problem.
So how do formulators deal with that?
Well, in this case, it's all about protecting the drug. Things like oxidation hydrolysis, that's when it reacts with water.
Okay.
And light exposure can all cause a drug to break down, lose its potency, and maybe even form, you know, harmful byproducts.
So it's about keeping it safe.
Exactly. And there are a few ways to do that. You can add antioxidants, like tocopherols.
Tocopherols.
Yeah, they're generally considered safe, and they can help prevent oxidation.
Okay.
You can put desiccants in the packaging to absorb moisture so it doesn't react with water.
Right.
And you can use special packaging to protect it from light and air, like amber-colored glass or blister packs with, you know, protective layers.
Oh, okay. So it's about creating like a stable little environment for the drug.
Exactly. Like building a little fortress around it.
I like that. I also remember reading about something called lyophilization. What's that all about?
Lyophilization, or freeze drying, is really important for certain types of drugs, particularly biologics like proteins and antibodies.
Okay.
These tend to be way more unstable in liquid form.
Right.
So what you do is you freeze the drink solution and then remove all the water using a vacuum.
Okay.
What you're left with is a dry powder that's a lot more stable, and you could just reconstitute it with the solvent before you give it to the patient.
Oh, that's clever. Okay, so our autoimmune drug, it's soluble, it's stable, thanks to all this formulation work.
It's looking good.
Yeah. Well, what's the next big hurdle to clear before it can become a medicine that people can actually use?
Well, now we have to navigate the regulatory landscape.
Oh, right. The FDA.
Exactly. Before we can even test this drug in large-scale clinical trials, the people developing it, you know, the company or institution, they have to submit what's called an IND application.
IND?
Yeah, it stands for Investigational New Drug.
Okay.
And they send this to the regulatory agency like the FDA here in the U.S.
Okay, so what exactly needs to go into this IND application?
It's pretty comprehensive. It needs to tell the whole story of the drug as it stands at that point in development.
Okay.
You need details about the chemistry and manufacturing controls.
Yeah.
Basically how the drug substance is made,
mm-hmm.
how the final formulation is produced, and how the quality is controlled.
So like the whole recipe and process?
Pretty much. You also need tons of preclinical data, like how the drug works in the body. That's called pharmacology.
Okay.
And toxicology, you know, its safety profile based on animal studies.
Right.
Plus any previous experience with humans, if there is any, and a super detailed protocol for the proposed clinical trial.
Wow. So they want to see everything.
They do. The FDA wants to make sure that it's reasonably safe to start testing this drug in humans.
Yeah.
And that the studies are scientifically sound.
So the FDA is like a gatekeeper, making sure only the promising and safe drugs move on to trials.
That's a good way to put it.
What happens after they submit the IND?
So the FDA reviews it all and checks if the initial dose they want to use in humans is safe. For later stage trials, they also look at how well the study is designed, and if it's likely to produce useful data on the drug's effectiveness.
Okay.
Usually there's a 30-day review period after the FDA gets the IND before the trial can start.
Okay.
Unless they issue something called a clinical hold.
A clinical hold? What's that?
It means the FDA has some serious concerns about the safety of the trial or the data they've been given.
Okay.
Maybe they're worried about something they saw in the toxicology studies, or maybe there are problems with the proposed manufacturing controls.
Right.
Whatever it is, the study can't go ahead until those concerns are addressed.
So even if you've got this amazing formulation, you can still hit these regulatory roadblocks.
Yeah, that's the reality of drug development.
Okay, so let's say our autoimmune drug, it sails through the IND process, shows great results in the trials, you know,
Yeah.
works, it's safe.
Fantastic.
What's the next big challenge?
Now comes the scaling up of manufacturing.
Oh, right. So taking it from the lab to the factory?
Exactly. And this is a whole new ballgame.
Yeah, I bet.
Things that work perfectly fine in small batches in the lab might behave completely differently when you try to make huge quantities.
Right. I can imagine.
Yeah, things like mixing times, temperature control, the order you add ingredients in, all of that becomes super critical when you're working at a large scale.
Yeah.
And this is where good manufacturing practices, or GMP, comes in.
GMP.
This isn't just about paperwork. It's about making sure every single dose that a patient gets is the same high quality.
Okay.
It covers everything from how the manufacturing facilities are designed and maintained to the training of personnel and keeping records of every single step.
So it's all about consistency.
Absolutely. And it's not just about efficiency either. It's also about making sure there's enough medication to go around.
That's a good point. What about the actual production of the, you know, API, the active ingredient? Does the formulation strategy affect that?
Oh, absolutely. Process chemistry, right, which is all about finding the best ways to make the API.
Okay.
It's super connected to formulation. The way they first make the drug in the lab might not be practical for large-scale production, you know, because of cost or efficiency or maybe environmental reasons.
Right.
So process chemists work on developing better ways to make the API in the quantities they need for the formulated drug.
So it's like a chain reaction. Each step affects the next.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about all these challenges and how scientists overcome them.
Yeah.
But what does it all mean for the average person? Why does all this careful formulation work really matter?
At the end of the day, successful formulation is what gives patients access to these treatments.
Okay.
A drug that's well formulated, it's stable, it's absorbed easily, it's easy to take, that's way more likely to be commercially viable, which means it can reach more patients.
Right.
And even more importantly, a good formulation can actually help patients stick to their medication regimen.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. And that, of course, leads to better outcomes for them.
So for you listening, just understanding all these formulation challenges, it helps you see why some medicines are more effective or easier to take than others.
Exactly. And it can even give a second chance to drugs that might have failed before.
Really? How so?
But you might have a drug that showed amazing potential in the beginning, but it couldn't be delivered properly or wasn't stable enough.
Yeah.
But clever formulation can actually overcome those problems and bring that drug back to life.
So it's not just about tweaking things. It can be a real game changer.
Absolutely.
So as we wrap up our, you know, deep dive into the world of pharmaceutical formulation.
Right.
What's the big takeaway?
The big thing to remember is that innovative formulation, it's not just a side detail. It's a critical part of drug development.
Yeah.
It's the bridge between a cool scientific discovery and a medicine that can actually help people.
It's the difference between an idea and a treatment.
Exactly.
Is there a particular example from our case study or the research we did that really shows this?
Well, think back to our autoimmune drug.
Yeah.
The one that had solubility problems.
Right.
If the scientists managed to develop a nanoparticle version of it, it could mean patients could take a way lower dose and get the same benefit.
Yeah.
Which, of course, could mean fewer side effects. Or if they made a controlled release version,
right,
it might mean patients only have to take the medication once a day instead of multiple times a day.
That would be huge.
Right. It could really improve their quality of life and make them more likely to stick to the treatment plan.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So all these, you know, seemingly technical choices,
yeah,
they have a real impact on people's lives.
Absolutely.
It really makes you appreciate all the thought and work that goes into developing these medicines to make sure they work effectively and safely.
Exactly. Now that you know all about these formulation challenges,
yeah,
I wonder what you'll think about differently next time you take a medication.
Yeah.
The size of the pill, whether you have to take it with food, how often you take it, all of that stuff.
It's fascinating.
It is. And just imagine how things like nanotechnology and other advancements could totally change how we formulate and deliver drugs in the future.
It's mind-blowing to think about.
It really is. There's so many possibilities for treating diseases in ways we haven't even thought of yet.
It's an exciting field.
It really is.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of pharmaceutical formulation.
It's been a pleasure.
I hope you learned something new and maybe even see your medications in a whole new light.
Me too.
Until next time, stay curious.
And stay informed.
See ya.